get through this. All right. Picking up where we left off last week, I believe, let me just scroll up a little bit here because I'm quite a bit ahead in the church studies here. Wow, about 13 pages of notes ahead. There we go. All right, so we're on question number 9 of, now, removing the paintbrush won't help. It won't help. It's not being used, so it's not going to help. There's just something that they're doing in our bandwidth. And I hope and pray it isn't because we're Christians that they're giving us a hard time, you know, because it certainly seems odd that all their other customers don't have issues and we do. And at least that's the scuttlebutt I'm getting. Anyway, question number 9. The man of sin opposeth and exalteth himself how high? And it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, now, before moving on, I want to share something with Walt. You just came in. I noticed you keep, he just fell out, I think. No, he's still there. Okay, if you fall out again, Walt, unplug your router, count to 10, and plug it back in. You might have a better connection, a little more stable connection to where when you come back in, you should be fine. So if that happens, just remember, unplug your router, count to 10, plug it back in, and then it'll take, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 seconds for your router to reboot and stuff, you know. So I just thought I'd see it. Because I kept noticing Walt was falling out. Okay. All right. So before reading the quotes, we're in the... okay. All right. Thanks, Walt. Yeah, and if they're having the same problem, tell them that too, about, you know, unplugging the router and stuff like that, because we're supposed to have better bandwidth. They're supposed to have fixed the bandwidth this week, and obviously there's still some other problems they haven't noticed or something. So this has been going on since February, so I don't know. You know, it's just the enemy attacking. We'll make it. We'll make it through. So again, before reading the quotes where the popes claim to be God on earth, thereby exalting them even onto the Godhead in New Jerusalem, I want to make it clear that the temple of God spoken here is not a physical building like so many like to preach. Reason being is the Vatican was never a temple for the God of heaven. Long before Tetzel went around scaring people into giving money to build the Vatican in Martin Luther's day, the Roman Catholic Church was already the home of Satan himself. Plus, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And no, I'm not suggesting that the popes are Holy Spirit indwelt men. However, they do claim to be Christians, and thereby claim to be as God, sitting in the temple of God, claiming to be God himself. So by doing so, many real Christians around the world became confused and had their faith weakened by the popes claiming such a thing. And as the prophecy says in Revelation 18:3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundancy of her delicacies. Now, again, before going further, we need to understand that just claiming to be God on earth isn't the main issue here, as such a claim is laughable at best. I mean, how could it's just, a man can't be God, okay? So, however, when the popes decided to change the Sabbath to Sunday, doing as the prophet Daniel predicted in Daniel 7:25, that act alone made his claim reach onto heaven in a hateful way, because Sabbath was instituted by the Creator as the day to remember him as Creator. Changing the Sabbath, as well as altering the Ten Commandments years later in regards to removing commandment number 2, wherein it says we must not bow down to statues and worship, as well as, you know, splitting commandment number 10 to make it 9 and 10 so as to make up for the gap, the popes blasphemed in a major way by attacking the God of heaven by trying to remove the one day on earth that acknowledged him as Creator, as well as changing the law that is the law of the land in New Jerusalem. And it's even spread out into other churches now as well. And it's not just, but it's because they have Catholic influences. There's 41,000 denominations on earth right now, and most of them have been infiltrated and spun off from Catholicism and Protestant faiths that have already been infiltrated by Rome. And so it's just all one big happy mess for them guys. But this was an act of war when they, you know, changed God's law. It's not the only war, of course. We know about the war in heaven where Satan got cast out onto this planet along with all of his minions. So, again, this was an act of war by Satan, and this is why the popes exalt themselves above God. They not only claim to be God on earth, they claim to have the power to nullify his law as well as his authority as creator. And this is why we see them making the following statements to this day. All right, this first one, it's from, and I'm only going to share, you know, like three of them, I think. Yeah, because you know, if you go to my Words of the Beast page on the website, there's dozens of these quotes and other quotes in regards to some of the stuff that they say and claim. This first one is from the Auckland Bishop, where it says, where he says the Pope resides from the cross. He said this in 2004 on September 20th, no less, today. So, and it was, of course, posted in Zenit.org. And Zenit.org is it's kind of like one of the first blogs out there. It's kind of like set up like a blog, but it's actually in a magazine, if you will. But it's a Catholic magazine. And this is what it says. It seems the Pope, John Paul II, now presides over the universal church. And the word universal in Latin is Catholic. And so it presides over the universal church from his place upon Christ's cross. And John Paul II didn't die until 2005. They've already canonized this man who sold cyanide that his parents manufactured for you know, the Nazi concentration camps. They've already made this man a saint. Now that he's dead, but they've already, you know, they've exalted him as Christ on earth long before that too. So, but in this quote, it's just overwhelmingly blasphemous for him to claim a sinful man such as this, who actually killed Christians, helped in the murder of millions of Jews, that he would be considered on Christ's cross. It's just blasphemous. I mean, it's just insanely evil. This next quote is on the authority of the councils on book. It's in Book 2, Chapter 17. It says, "All names which in the Scriptures are applied to Christ, by virtue of which it is established that he is over the church, all the same names are applied to the Pope." Okay. Now, here again, the popes claim all the attributes of Christ. Again, this is laughable as well, but they do this as a show of strength against our Lord as his government and his government in New Jerusalem. And it's a lot of people get a little confused about why they do this. I mean, they actually seek to lay siege upon the city, you know, at the end of 1,000 years, and they're going to do just that. They're going to surround it, but their arrogance and deep-rooted deceptions will make them think they can actually defeat our Lord. But as we know, that is the day they die for all eternity, when our Lord sends fire from above and below to turn them into the ashes that we find under the soles of our feet, as Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 says. We're going to be walking on these ashes. And I'm only going to share just one more quote. Like I said, I'm just going to do three, but I can literally go on and on and on with these quotes, but most everybody here already understands what's going on here. But this next one was actually quoted from the New York Catechism. And the Catechism is the dogmatic lesson book or doctrinal lesson book for the Roman Catholic Church for the children, as well as adults seeking conversion into Catholicism. And this is what it says. It says, "The Pope takes the place of Jesus Christ on earth. By divine right, the Pope has supreme and full power in faith, in morals, over each and every pastor and his flock. He is the true vicar." Remember what we were talking about, this word vicar, a few weeks ago? The word vicar, translated, is actually replacement. It means replacement. But it says, "He is the true vicar, the head of the entire church, the father and teacher of all Christians. He is the infallible ruler, the founder of dogma, the author of and judge of all councils, the universal ruler of truth, the arbiter of the world, the supreme judge of heaven and earth, the judge of all, being judged by no one, God himself on earth. So this quote goes far into the realm of blasphemy and hatred for our heavenly king, but I only want to touch on the word the popes have been using for eons when referring to themselves. And again, that has to do with that word vicar, the word vicarius in Latin, which is shortened here for the English word, or the old English kind of word. The word vicar actually means replacement of, like I said a minute ago. So when the popes call themselves the vicar of Christ in many documents to this day, they are actually saying that they are the replacement of Christ, or as the prophecy calls him, Antichrist. So, next one, number 10. The question is, he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself what? And then again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, is more or less saying the same thing, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So as is obvious, I covered the answer to this question in the previous question. But the study does go on to share the following passage. It says, we are not to worship man in Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26. We're not to worship good angels either, Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, or even fallen angels. Matthew 4, verses 9 and 10, or any created being, Romans chapter 1, verse 25. We are to worship Jesus, period. And that's Hebrews 1, 6, or Philippians 2, verse 10. And I mean, well, there's a lot of verses on that one. So, but let's look at these verses so as to better clarify just how evil this beast in Rome truly is. Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, it says, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So right off we see in this verse when the popes do, what the popes do today is directly against the written word of God. The popes claim to be scholars of the word, but because most that bow before them never read their Bibles, it's easy for them to be convinced to do anything that the pope demands. And the pope claims to be the successor of Peter, who, by the way, was a married man. Jesus Christ healed his mother-in-law. And so the popes claim to be, the successor of Peter, but here we see Peter demanding, Cornelius, get up, don't be kneeling down in front of me. And if I don't know if you've seen that video, I did it a few years ago, and then Brother Craig from the Philippines actually redid it in high def for me, so it doesn't have as many hits as it used to have. But, both videos are on the internet still, the one that I did years ago and the one that he did recently, where it shows a bunch of pictures of political leaders and even the common man or the common woman kneeling down in worship before the Pope. And then you got like when all the priests, the novice priests are being ordained, if you will, they all lay down prostrate right in front of the Pope. And there's pictures of this all over the internet and all over the world where they got dozens and dozens of priests as they're getting ready for ordination laying down on the floor in front of the sedia custodia of the Pope where he's sitting there accepting their worship. So, anyway, many years ago, it was discovered that the founder of the Jesuit order said this. He says, one of the maxims of the spiritual exercises is that if my superior says black is white and white is black, then that's just the way it is. So even if the person that bows before these evil men have read their Bibles, if their leader says the exact opposite of what's in the Bible, they believe them anyway because they are taught from day one that no one can decipher the truth as they can. And I remember this as a young Catholic man. I used to teach for the Catholic Church. I remember this one year I asked the Monsignor, or most normal churches call him pastor, but I asked the Monsignor, is it okay if I was to just use the scriptures this year to teach? Because I got to tell you, I'm tired of all these people coming out from behind parked cars or from behind the bushes or just popping up in malls and stuff like that telling me I'm going to hell because I'm a Catholic. And so I want to study the scriptures a little bit more and use that in my lesson plans for this year to combat this, right? And he said, go for it. Well, at the end of about 18 months, I found out those people were telling me the truth, that I was in the wrong church. And so I approached my Monsignor, one day, you know, about a year and a half later, with what is now section one of my book called The Second Window. And also this is a bunch of questions I was going to ask him. I've never rewritten that book. I wrote that book. The first section, I wrote it as a Catholic. The second section, after I left the church. And the third section, as a Sabbath-keeping Christian. And so the whole thing has to be rewritten to make it easier to read, because I really didn't write well back then. But still, I had all these questions. And I was asking, you know, why does the Bible say this, but we're doing that? Why does the Bible say this, but we're doing that? And so on and so forth. In other words, what the exercises or the spherical exegesis, if you will, of Loyola, the Jesuits, where they say, hey, if I tell you that wall's black and it's actually white, you better believe me that it's actually black. You cannot doubt anything I say, because I am your spiritual leader and I see things you cannot, right? And so I'm asking this priest, and I'm saying, why is it that, well, first of all, why do we call the priest's father when Jesus says, don't call any man on earth your father? Why are we saying Mary is without sin when she's saying God my Savior in Luke chapter 2? I mean, I'm just going down the list. I wanted to get to all 22 questions, I think it was. He stopped me on question 3 and says, Nick, stop reading the Bible. It's confusing you. That's when I left the church. Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9 says, And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So here we got Peter saying, don't be bound down before him, and then we got an angel saying it too. So here, this is a good angel instructing John, of course, the apostle, that worshiping him, an angel, is not a wise act. But what of the fallen angel that does the man worship? We see that he did, in fact, try to get Jesus, our Lord, to bow down before him. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, and he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So it is obvious now that Jesus clearly says to bow to anyone other than God is sin. Yet the prelates of Rome demand the exact opposite, because they worship Satan. In fact, that is not a sarcastic statement at all. I'm not just saying it because I'm angry at them, and I'm not. You know, they never molested me or any... Well, I found out about 20 years after leaving the Church of Rome, after leaving the Catholic Church, that one of my brothers were molested, but I had already started Presence of God ministry 20 years prior, so that's not... Some people will say, oh, he's just got a chip on his shoulder for the church. I says, no. I have a desire to glorify the Lord and do what his remnant people are supposed to do, to expose the Antichrist. I mean, look at it says in Thessalonians, we know what a man of sin is now. So we got a duty before us. So, and we now have documented evidence that the popes and the prelates of Rome do in fact worship Satan, as they were caught red-handed holding a satanic mass inside Vatican walls in February of 1999. And I have this documentation online if anybody wants it. So, who is it we are to worship? And what does the trusted word of God say so clearly? Well, Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And this is another reason you see some of these strange doctrines coming around. Like take Lunar Sabbath, for example. They worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's like the pagans. But the week was never based on lunar cycles. It's not even based on the sun, the annual cycle either. It's just based on God's word. 7 days, period. Ain't no moon involved there. And then Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And then Philippians 2, verse 10, of course, says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Still, I do want to address the question that sometimes comes around when I talk on topics such as this, where some Christians believe that I'm going a little overboard when I say the Pope is a Luciferian or a satanic leader or a Satanist or a devil worshiper. And says, well, if you get past all the prophetic statements wherein every single solitary prophecy that's ever been uttered in the scriptures, Old or New Testament, in regards to the Antichrist, They have all been proven and documented to have been fulfilled by the popes of Rome. If you get past that, how that's possible is beyond me. But if you're going to ignore all that, what about the pedophilia? Or what about the inverted crosses that they use in their rituals? So what about all the satanic symbols all over the Vatican walls and the floors and the ceilings and all the cathedrals? But keep this in mind, too. During the Cold War, which we're having another one now, of course, but during the Cold War, when Russia and the U.S. were kind of like bumping heads, what was the best method of intel on either side of the fence? Spies, right? That's the way it always works best. A Russian will actually be born and bred to literally be and to look like an American, okay? So that by the time he leaves Russia as a spy, he will get into, you know, somehow get into politics. Well, easy enough to get into politics because they already got spies here, and they just catapult the guy into positions of leadership to where he can have, you know, an inside information that most people can't get to. But my point is, a Russian will play the part of an American to infiltrate America to do a damage from within. Well, vice versa. Americans were born and raised to act like Russians, to do the same thing, to go to Russia. And so, since that is obviously inspired by hell, what do you think Satan's going to do when he wants to infiltrate the Christian church? Is he going to come walking up to Christians with all this ratted, or this rotted liver and, you know, disgusting carrion all over his body with maggots and foul stench all around him? Or he's going to walk up to you like a Christian, try to get you to follow his lead. Yeah, amen, Vera. He's going to act just like a Christian. Well, the weird thing is, Catholicism isn't even Christianity. 86.2% of it is paganism. And the only reason I know that is because I used to teach catechism. And I one day sat down with a St. Joseph's General Edition catechism book, and went through it page by page, question by question, answer by answer, and I found, and I would mark down, and I was very generous on their side, because they did mention a wooden cross, and his name is Jesus, and his mother's name was Mary. So some of the stuff they got right, I gave them the benefit of the doubt. But some of the stuff that was way out in left field, I says, okay, that's not right, and I found it in paganism, right? So I know exactly where they're coming from in that respect. And so it's not a far-fetched idea to see that Satan is going to, especially since the prophecy says he's going to do this, he's going to be a church and state. Or as prophecy says, a woman on a beast. Jeremiah 6:2 says a woman's a church. Daniel 7:23 and 25, all over the place, says a beast is a nation. And Daniel even said that it's going to be diverse from any other nation that ever existed. And so we know the Vatican is the only one that's ever existed that has global power. There's been other small little nations that tried to do that, you know, absolute power thing where they were church and state thing, but none of them have the power as Rome does. And so they're the only ones that can be seized, you know, fulfilling the prophecy. So I just thought I'd mention that because there are some that will have a little bit of, you know, an eyebrow-raising event, if you will, when I say that popes are actually Luciferian and or Satanists. And besides the fact that they got caught, and it was announced at the Fatima 2000 Congress in front of all those bishops. Malachi was involved with it. It was Emmanuel Malingo, that's the guy. He got up in front of everybody in 2000, and he said it. And he waited until 2000 to do it because he knew all those bishops would be out there. But boy, I tell you, it just fell on deaf ears anyway because it didn't change the thing. They're still doing it. They're still doing whatever they do. You know, everything from child pedophilia to just child sacrifice. And that's what's meant by a satanic mass. They weren't in there, you know. I mean, he didn't go into any details, but I used to mess with the occult before I was a Christian, and I know when you have a mass, there's got to be a sacrifice. And it's usually, you know, like in the common man, you know, cats. You'll see cats missing in the neighborhood and stuff like that, and dogs. And then, of course, in the 70s and stuff like that, kids were in and, you know, a lot of them wound up missing and stuff like that. And the government's involved in that as well. But Rome is very, very much into that. And just doing a little bit of research on some of the symbols that are on the walls of Rome tells you right there who it is they're actually glorifying and who it is they're actually worshiping. And so the prophecies fulfill. That makes it that much easier to show the people that the Lord sends our way, you know, the truth in regards to all this. So that more or less answers question number 10 in regards to he does sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. On top of everything else, he'll go so far as to blaspheme God and change the truth of God into a lie. And this is another reason for the homosexuality. You know, 98% of the Vatican is homosexual. An Italian magazine set that out last year. And we know what Daniel chapter 11 says about they're not going to have a desire for women. Yeah, Christian prophecy, that accurate. So, anyway, hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.